The series is this year, Tashinai Tess, Baruch Shem, Rebbe Hatzliach series, Shkoyach to the Rav, Matt for putting this together for the Kehila. We got a lot out of it, and Shovim Tat, a little more to fill than in other years. Baruch Hashem, we're Zoche, because of my special connection, to get my brother here for the, my brother Shragi Kalis, for the last, the closer of this Shovim series. My brother is the author of a sefer, Wangasi Halacha, and it's been very, very well received, like you would imagine a sefer about alcohol would be. And incredibly, my brother had the wisdom to publish his first sefer on this topic, because Hilchos Pidyon HaBen was not going to be as well received, and other exciting topics that just came to mind. So he chose one that seemed to be a winner and took the film world by storm. But my brother's a lot more than just books about alcohol, as the Rav mentioned at my son's bar mitzvah last year. He said, you don't want to just pigeonhole yourself. If you look at the flyer, my brother's background is quite extensive in halacha. Was a very matzliach kolel, which is very popular with the Anglo crowd, and he's been with Steinberg's yeshiva for quite some time as well. So one more thing before I ask him to come up, the sefer is for sale. They'll be selling it. If you have a credit card, you can buy it $20 or 70 shekel, whichever you prefer, and that'll be available at the end of the highly recommend the sefer. And without further ado, as my brother come and teach us about wine, whiskey, halacha.
Here, Steve.
Actually, two corrections. I am Rabbi Dr. David Kalis's brother, and that's the only yichus that I have to be here. That's number one. That's what he told me to say. That's number one. And number two, the author is actually standing there, Rabbi Slansky, so all complaints should go to the two aforementioned individuals. Rabbi Doctor and Rabbi Slansky, if there's any issues on what I say. As I see, it's talking a tremendous Indian that the Olam over here is being Misayra and the Yidanim of Shaivim. And obviously I saw all the different topics, and each one of them has a big Siba to be Misayra, these Yidanim. And specifically in Shaivim, the Indian of Kashrus is of the forefront of topics that a person should talk be mechazik himself in. It's the Davar that the Rambam, when he named his Sefer Kedusha, and the two topics in his Sefer of Kedusha, one being Arayas, and Yoni Arayas, because Precious from Arayas that causes the generates Kedusha, and the other is, of course, the Machal Sasuris. The same Sefer the Rambam brings down. The inyanim of Kedusha, the height of the inyanim of Arayas, and the inyanim of Machalas Asuras. And I'll focus tonight, obviously, on more of the inyanim of the Machalas Asuras. I just wanted to give one good sakdama. When you talk about these inyanim and the chshivas of them, it's never an understatement to give out the chshivas of these inyanim. And I think the best way to bring it out is what you find in the Paiskim, that when it comes to the topic of kashrus, and wine and whiskey is no different. In this regard, there's an inyan of timtum alev. And just like a person understands that if he has a clogged artery, so then he's in a very bad matzav. So if he has a neshama that has a clogged artery to his lave, which is his mayach, to his seichel, so then he's in a very bad matzav. And the inyanim of kashrus, the kpeid on kashrus, is certainly the key to his lave, to his heart, being to be able to pump pure and to be able to pump smooth. And this inyan of timtum alev, somebody could be possibly sitting and thinking that the mice until now, I don't know about these inyanim, which is like a lot of us think, especially when we talk about, let's say, whiskey or the different topics in wine or whatnot. So he thinks, I didn't. Should I just hold it? I don't mind. Dave, you didn't die. Oh, you're supposed to press the on button. You never told me that, David. David's my older brother. When it comes to these topics, So many people would think to themselves, what's in the Geya? I'm not, not my fault. If I didn't know, if you don't know, it doesn't hurt you. So that is, there is a certain level of debate about that. When you talk about Timta Malev, this new type of Tumma that a person, Chalila, gets, if he's Chalila not Makbid on in Yonah Kashrus, so is that dependent on your Shoigeg, Oynes, Mezid? Is it dependent on your Ratzin to do the Aveira? So these are, you do it to Kamachlaikisim, but sometimes when a person hears the Dvar Makdoshim, the actual, the Oisius and Machkimais, the Rambam's Shita is that the Teva of these Inyonim are Metamtim. The Rambam says, Kol Masha Asra Atayra Aleinu Min HaMachalim, Mizoynom Mekuna, Ve'ein Bego Masha Nesra Aleinu Mashi Sapik She'ein Hezek Boi. This is the Marin of Uchim in Michele Gimel, the Perek Memches. That's the Shita of the Rambam in the Marin of Uchim. The later Paiskim, many of them go with this Mahalach. Most famous is the Netziv. It's going on the sugya where Klal Yisrael were allowed to eat non-shechted animals before they came before the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. So there was a tkufa where Klal Yisrael, there was a tkufa they were allowed to eat non-shechted animals. And the lashon of the Netziv, the Meshech Chachma, as he says, an incredible thing. It's going on the sugya there. The teva macholas asuris l'tamtim es aleiv k'disa b'soy peregimol liyuma v'tamtim bam afilu tevel v'shar. Now, the Sikh is coming to explain over there a situation where Klal Yisrael were allowed to eat it. This is an incredible Netziv, and the Meshech Chachma the same thing. Meshech Chachma says, in the years that Klal Yisrael were being Kaivash Eretz Yisrael, they were allowed to eat it. L'chein Masik, the Pasik in Pasik Yibes, he shomer l'cha. The Pasik says that even in a situation where they're allowed to eat what we call treifus, what we call the velus, animals that weren't shechted, kiteva hadvarim hasurim mitamtim esalev. This is clearly talking about situations where it was mutter. So kav chaymer, a person that would be an oynis or a shoygen, in a case even where it's mutter, mitamtim bam vafilum oichlam beheter. V'lchein yichal shabbos l'chaygen, whatever he's talking about over there, ayin sham, in the label yo, more recent, veli lapyan, ein zirak skuli v'oynish. It's not an Indian skuli. Not an opponent punishment. The Timta Malev is a punishment for you weren't careful in kashrus. El is a davar tivi mamish. This is a davar shel teva. And also, very surprisingly, Tit Eliezer, who knew all this, took a raid about this, if the Timta Malev comes from a person being shayigeg, or if it's only b'mezid, or whatnot. And Tit Eliezer, he says, teva tvar mi paskin zil alacha. Kitev, which is more pachad, and now it was paskin by Tit Eliezer, that has more of a taikif, it was paskin in the bezin shalmata. Teva tvar masurim shemetamtem is a leiv, ukemoy shekosev, vin it's mezid, afilum oichon beheter. So therefore, these inyanim, a person certainly has to be careful. Maybe he'll say, okay, but what, most of what I'll talk about tonight, Gari Suri Derabonim, even if I'll talk about maybe Chol Shabbat Pesach, certainly the Maga of wine, and certainly the Shiloh of Sherry Casks, the most Shiloh could be, is the Shiloh of Derabonim, which of course Derabonim is a Davar Chomer, but maybe it doesn't have that level of Kepeda. A level of Kepeda that is the Shach and Yerodea. Afal Pi Dekotin Ha'oichol Dvar Masurim Midirabonim. Talking over there in the sugya, the famous sugya of Timta Malev, over there in Yerodein, it's in the Pei Aleph that the Talmid Chachamim here are familiar with, and it says over there in the Shach, even at the Rabbanon, and the Rechashol and Paskin, since you've gotten Lamedalad, Afilo Oichlam, the Itzer, the Rabbanon, Mitam to Timta Malev, Yafishenu, the Kol Zebaduk Umenusa. Rechashol says that it's Talmud Baduk Umenusa, and his Mishpacha, the Torah Tmima, says the exact same thing, Mamish on this. So these things are Mitamtem, whether a person knows about it, whether a person doesn't know about it, certainly the Ashit is out there. But there is a Timtum Alev, and even on a Drabbanon. And Ad Kedei Kach, there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, which is an incredible tshuva, because it's an explanation of a tshuva in the Chassam Sofer. It's a very famous tshuva. The Chassam Sofer has a tshuva where he discusses a shoita who was going to an institution. A very famous tshuva. The Chassam Sofer is in the 83rd tshuva in Chassam Sofer. And he's discussing about a certain shoita that they had to send him to some institution in Wien. And it was discussed with the Chassam Sofer that if he would go to this institution, he would have to have treifus. And if he would, but being a part of this institution, he was a person that wasn't able to function in society. But on a day, being in this institution, he would be able to become a normal functioning person or whatnot. So the Chassam Sofer over there has a long tshuva over there, be meirich to be matir. Betzim has a long tshuva to explain how it's mutter because he's a shaita and whatnot. And he discusses the safina and all the different sugyas that are involved if you're allowed to feed the shaita treifus. After this long arichas, the Chassam Sofer ends with the words, he says, Hachashari, you know, after he finishes the whole tshuva, he comes out a longer tshuva that it should be mutter, that you should be allowed to send this shaita to the institution. I'm sorry, I didn't explain. In that institution, you had to be, all the rules of that institution. And if a person would have to eat only treif in that institution obviously only had treif. And there was no potential for him to have a different menu than others and whatnot. The truth is, unfortunately, Shilas Leiter today exist. Later, a person has to go to a rehab, a drug rehabilitation and whatnot. So part of the regimen of these drug rehabilitation itself is he has to be a part of this rehabilitation center, and some of the rules are he has to have the same diet. Sometimes it could be for anorexia, and you can't start singling out and saying they'll have this type of diet and they'll have this type of diet, and it becomes the same shilas b'koch nefesh, and when it's mutter and when it's not mutter. But these shilas exist, and the Chassam Sofer is really the forerunner of these tshuvas to know how to answer. So Chassam Sofer ends the tshuva with incredible words. And he says, And over here is Einlecha Oynes Gadol Mizayis. So we're talking about a Shaita. Einlecha Oynes. Einlecha Shaita. Einlecha Pater Min HaMitzvahs Gadol Mizayis. And he writes, Adayin Ani Oymer Motiv Shei Shaita Kol Yomav. It's better he should be a Shaita Kol Yomav. This person is a Shaita. It's better he should be a Shaita Kol Yomav. And not to be, his Lashon is Rosh Hashanah Amokim Afilu Shal Echas. And Rabbi Shai Zecher Levracha has a truth about this. In Chelik Beis, in Simit Pei Ches, where he has an understanding of the Chassam Sofer, which based on that he wants to say a kula. He learns in the Chassam Sofer that the Chassam Sofer was talking about someone who would have been healed. He would actually have gone to this institution and he would have been a normal, functioning, healthy person as a result of going to this institution. And that was the tshuva that Chassam Sofer was willing to be makel on based on his cheshbonos over there. But he said it's not kedai. Mutav that he should be a shaita kol yomav and not get healed, and a b that there shouldn't be timtum alev, and that he should be careful that there shouldn't chalila. Okay, how careful a person has to be with kashrus. Ramesha goes on to say that the case that they were asking him is that the person is not going to be cured, and that he'll wind up remaining a shaita. So Ramesha says it's not to be makel based on that. That maybe timtum alev will only apply to somebody who is shaykh to mitzvahs. That's ayin sham. That's Ramesha's tshuva. But you see, an incredible thing the way Ramesha explains the tshuva of some cipher that this person was going to be a functioning normal person. He would be a shaymer tayre mitzvahs. He could be a baki in shas and paiskin and talmud chacham and everything. But it's better he should remain a shaita and not have the timtum alev. So you have to give the proper understanding, the proper regard to these halachas, and as Hashem, we'll try to enlighten a little bit in the topics. The name of the shir is Wine and Whiskey. That's what it says, Wine and Whiskey. I'll try to talk a little bit about wine, whiskey, and maybe some beer. Wine, I got a v'zaycha to speak in this Mikdash Mat about, so somewhat my chayv in the cupping wine was, we spoke about the various differences between wine and grape juice, about adding water. We spoke a little bit over here about the wine. I'll just mention one nekuda for the sake of the Midas HaEmes. It says on the sign wine. Very interesting fact is to show you, you have to be an educated consumer, of said. You have to know what's going on out there. Everybody knows that if we should just, the whole wine issue, we could basically just pat the rap if you get mevushel. Some of us, the connoisseurs amongst us, understand the difference between mevushel and not mevushel. So for those, it could be by yetz, it wouldn't work. But everybody knows if the yayin is mevushel, so then it's mufka from all of the shilas, basically. If a guy touches the wine, if an avdol just jupa touches the havdol, if an avdol just jupa touches the wine, etc. So then we would be battered up the whole issue. And a lot of us, that's our hashkafa. You know, somebody's out there, he's going to come, he's going to say, what's the shiur on tonight? Wine and whiskey. So wine, I'm always going to get mevushel. Whiskey? I don't drink whiskey. So, you know, he doesn't have to come to the shiur, right? So, you have to tell him afterward like this. You have to tell him that wine, you always get mevushel. How do you know you always get mevushel? He mistum, he buys the wine, and then he goes afterward, he takes the wine, and he cooks it up himself. Because to say that you have vadei mevushel is a very, very, very serious shaila. What do I mean? When they write on the bottle, this is what I always thought. I mean, maybe you know better than me. But when I was, before I learned any of these sugyas, I always thought, what does it mean, mevushel? I thought, it says on the bottle, mevushel. So what does it mean, mevushel? It means they cook it and it's mevushel, right? I can tell you the secret. The secret is, when they write on the bottle, mevushel, they don't mean mevushel. That's right to you what they mean. They're not lying, but they don't mean mevushel. There's a tremendous machlekes between the Gaon of Moshe and all the other Paiskim, I'll call it, Rishon Zalman, and Rav Yashin, Rav Osner, all the other Paiskim we'll call it. But Rishon Zalman, Rav Yashin, the two great Paiskim that they were. The Rav Moshe has a shita that pasteurization, I'm not going to go into it out of sight, I'm going more into the conceptually. Rav Moshe has a shita that pasteurization, which is only 175 degrees or 165, depending on which tshuva Rav Moshe, even if they go up to 180 degrees or whatnot, depending on how much. But nowadays, the bedarach klal, the pasteurization will get up to at least 180 anyways. But the pasteurization doesn't get up to 212. When I say 212, I mean Fahrenheit, obviously. It won't get up to that level. What's an afkamina? Rav Moshe has a shita that all you have to do is get it up to that level of what's considered the real Yatzel Ledes Pai, the Chumra Dike Yatzel Ledes Pai, which is a 175 or whatnot. And even if it's only done for 1 second, which is how pasteurization works, it's called flash pasteurization. They take this wine, they run it through a tube, they do it to orange juice also. They do it to lots of things. They run it through a tube, and the tube in a second boils it up, and a second later it freezes it. And that way it kills the potential of any bacteria or whatnot that can get in there. And that's called flash pasteurization. And that's a process, which I oversimplified right now, but that's a process that's done in many, many foods and certainly liquids. And that's a process which is done to wines and to grape juices, etc. When they do this process to the wine and the grape juice, Rav Moshe holds that it hit 175 degrees, 165 degrees, it's enough. And that's it. You might say this din, it's called mevoshel. And therefore, according to Rav Moshe, if a guy were to touch this wine now, pour the wine, etc., all the issues that we have in wine, the wine is kosher. And what it says on your bottle, when it says the word mevoshel, it doesn't mean mevoshel. It means mefustar, pasteurized. And according to Rav Moshe, that wine is no problem now. If a guy were to touch it, if you makbid that, a guy shouldn't look at the wine, whatever you makbid on, etc., it would be no problem now, according to the guy Rav Moshe. This is a very, very big machlekes, tremendous machlekes. A guy Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv Chaylik, they hold that's not enough for the level of Bishel. It has to do with the fact that Bishel has to ruin the taste somewhat. It has to do with a shayla had to learn a shach in Yeridei. It's a difficult shach and it's a difficult gain over there. And it's a big machlekes how to learn when it comes to the shayla of mevushel, do you need to do a real Bishel? A Bishel, if you would ever take wine and cook it onto a fire, you would understand the difference, even those amongst us that don't understand from wine drinking. It's a totally different taste. It's not a very nice experience. And that's, of course, why they're not doing it. And Rav Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman were machmir. And Rav Shlomo Zalman wasn't from the grace of machmir, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was machmir. So, myself, I always thought, the shteitzach, so if it says on the bottle, mevushel, they mean you're not getting it. This is what I thought before I learned the sugya. I thought that you're not getting involved in the machlekes, Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's what I thought every bottle in the world, this is what like simple people like me think, every bottle in the world is pasteurized, right? Because that's how we like to think. You know, the USDA probably takes care of it and they don't let those French get away with this and that. And stomach, everything is pasteurized. We think everything, the chairs are pasteurized, the table's pasteurized, we think everything's pasteurized. And that, so therefore, if the bottle says mevushel, right, am I right? Not that, right? That's what you thought, right? Me and you thought like this. Right? I always thought that if it says mevushel on the bottle, so that means that it's actually mevushel, and you're not getting involved in the machlekes of Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman. That's a tais. That's incorrect. It's if it says on the bottle, so the reason why I even thought this is because sometimes some bottles are overly religious. And they'll write, mevushel al yidei pistor. So that makes me believe that therefore some bottles say not mevushel, and some bottles say mevushel al yidei pistor, and then some bottles say mevushel. So I think rightfully so, I always thought, so the pshat is pashut. The pshat is the ones that say not mevushel. So, you know, not even pasteurized. Wow, incredible, interesting. They're probably some French fellow without socks or whatever. Then there's one that's al yidei pistor, and then there's one that's mamish mevushel, like Rav Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman. That is incorrect. It's incorrect. Why there is that middle category is just being megala the emes to the tzibur. But when it says mevushel on your regular bottle of OU, or if it says mevushel on a badatz bottle. So the truth is, if you're listening with a good ear, so if I ask you, who's make on this shayla? I told you it's Rav Moshe against all the paiskim. It's not true. It's Rav Moshe and all the kashrus agencies, including the badatz, and including all the kashrus agencies against Shlomo Zalman or Rav Yashiv. So I would say out loud that the minhag ha'olam paskin somewhat against Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv. I don't know if that's fair, because I don't know if the tzibur was educated to this knowledge. And now that you're educated to this knowledge, so you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi, you'll ask Rabbi Milinowitz, and ask him, so what do we hold? That's how you have to do it now. Now you're a little bit educated. Now, I obviously, tonight, I'm not a Paisik tonight, even though David Cal and Uncle David told you that I'm a Paisik tonight. I'm not a Paisik tonight. I'm just giving you information. And Rabbi Milinowitz afterward, he'll answer, what are we paskin? You're going to ask him, like, educated consumers, and say, what do we hold? Do we hold like Rav Shlom Zalman, or do we hold like Rav Moshe? You know, so until now we held like the Badats. We held that if it says pasteurized, we didn't think twice. We all think that Raisa, this is a shiloh of kula chumra. Ramesh is the mekel, and the Rishon Zalman is the machmir here. That's not true. Ramesh is the machmir here, much bigger machmir over here. There's a chumra and Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Kiddush. There's a chumra brought, and the Shulchan Aruch brings the chumra. It's not like a small chumra. Shulchan Aruch brings the chumra that you shouldn't make kiddush. We know it from the Dalet Kaisis, we know. That's a mitzvah in Reishayim Beis, in Irish Beis, it's brought the same halacha, that a person shouldn't make kiddush on Friday night on a yayin she mevushal. He should only make kiddush on a yayin she einoy mevushal. Okay, we're makel on this shayla. It's a shayla to what extent, we're makbin and whatnot, etc. But the shayla doesn't come on Hilchas Pesach. The shayla comes really on every Leil Shabbos. So who's the makel and who's the machmir? Over here, according to Rav Moshe, you lose that mila, we'll call it the Rambam's mila, that on every Friday night, according to the Rambam, if on your bottle it says mavushal, or excuse me, pasteurized, or whatever it says, according to Rav Moshe, you can't use that for kiddush. Meaning as a lichat chila, obviously you could use it for kiddush. You could certainly use it for kiddush, but upon him, if you want to get that incredible hitter on every Friday night, so Rav Moshe becomes the incredible chumro. Mashenkin, if you go with the other mahalach, Rav El Yashiv, Rav Shlomo Zalman, so it comes out not like that. It comes out according to them, when it says mavushal on the bottle, it's not really mavushal. So if it's not really mavushal, so then make sure the guy doesn't touch it, but al kaponim, you'd be allowed to use it for kiddush. Now, this last cheshbin, not so simple. It could be, it's true what I said in Rav Moshe, but it could be that Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv will also be chayshish, and therefore maybe they would also have this chumra, but I'll give you what to play with, and that I was yoitze, I think, the chelik of wine, and I'll go to whiskey after I answer the questions. Yeah, I'm happy to answer questions at every shlab.
Is it something that out there people care about the pesach of Rav Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman that day, that maybe they hold like l'chatchil like them, but if the bottle gets messed up,
so that is definitely a cheshbin that a paisik is going to make. Right, in other words, these are all going to be cheshbinus. Once you have now all the different shailas about, let's say, non-religious Jews, b'sman hazeh, the tinek shenishpas, or whatnot, so for shteitzach, I think everybody already on their own would be able to make such a tziruf. L'dogma, the non-religious Jew poured the wine at the simcha. At the simcha. So now you're hearing this, you're saying, oh my goodness, I have to keep him away even from the bavushal till now. So about to say, bye, you'd be able to be makel. The shayla in the first place, what a chilayin bisman as a, that's one shayla, maybe the avadin avadinik shanishpa, so maybe he doesn't trafe up the wine. Plus the fact that if the guyin is bavushal, at least according to Rav Moshe, so for sure, you could be makel on these cheshbonos when you make tzirufim. That's how you would do it. And these types of concepts, where there's common shaylas in the paiskim about bichlal when a guy pours wine. What's the status when a guy points wine? B'di'eved, Madina, whatnot, all different rules. It's very complicated sugis. And Lefides, v'shteitzach, b'di'eved, there'll be more makom to be makel over here, and to add it to tzirir, to be mitzarif. Yeah.
Is your only concern with non-mevushal wine just if you might be among non-Jews or non-religious Jews, or if you know you're just alone with your family on a Friday night and you want a really good glass of wine, non-mevushal?
There shouldn't be any concern, but it's even a hitter. It's even a hitter because then you're getting this, according to the Rambam, you're getting the most mahudu dika kiddush. Yeah.
What, is there an issue of adding water, a few drops for whatever other tradition?
Generally, in our wines,
or
it's okay.
If you add more water, does it become grape juice? And how does grape juice go into this?
Yeah, it's very important what she's asking. Grape juice also, these rules of wine and grape juice are the same rules.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah. Pape Mago of it's the same rules. Yeah, it's the same rule. It's interesting. One of the, that's why you have to print the Sefer twice. One of the mistakes that we made in the first Sefer is we never said that. Imagine you write a whole book on wine and whiskey and halacha, and we never wrote that, by the way, wine and grape juice are equal to these halachas. It's just an oversight. It was read the book by countless people, countless editors, and nobody chat that we forgot to mention wine and grape juice is the same same shayla. So I'm not giving you money back if you bought it, right? just write on the cover, wine, grape juice, whiskey. Right? You throw beer also once you're writing, but Kapanen, that's the gabi, the wine. But I know what you're all here for. You're all here for the whiskey. Yeah.
Aaron Fisher from the
it makes a lot of sense, right? Because the Badatz certainly writes on their bottles, Mavoshol, I would imagine that you have to go and be Mavar. What did the Minchas Yitzchak call it? Or Slansky, do we remember? I don't remember. What the Minchas Yitzchak wrote about the Shaila? He was Machmir Taka, I know. We have little problems over there. It must have been intertribal strife over there. And maybe I didn't know, and I was just pretending. But Akapanim, you have to know. And all these kashrus organizations, they have to realize that they're choosing sides. It's a very big shot. The Daiti, I think it's just a tremendous, you know, the OU is very transparent. You just press one button and you can see all of their information, and they tell you this. The OU talker tells you all of this, right? But a regular consumer, it's not a thought, right? That buys the most modetik echsherim, he probably thinks he's getting Rishlam Zalman's shita, he probably thinks he's getting Rav Liach. It's not a shailin in, it's a shailin more in Chashu Mishpa, it's a shailin shtukum dine mamanis. I never knew this, you know. Before I was Rabbi Kallis, I was David's younger brother. A simple guy like me, I never knew this. What do I know? I just buy the best asher, I don't know, whatever. And now I figured that they're mistamed being machmer on everything in the world, and you know, all the shitas and amemers and everything. And now, I don't know, it's interesting shayla. Maybe it's interesting shayla in Chayshim Mishpat.
Are there any wines that are mavushal?
Are there any wines that are mavushal to 212 mamish with the pasteurization level, meaning with the bishul level? Definitely not, because it would taste like that wine. That's, it would be called dreadful tasting wine. Mavushal, right? According to all the shitas and all the days, right? And goyim, they should touch it, they should shake it, they should, you know, do whatever they want. They can swim in the stuff. You know, all those gemaras that are talking about bathing in wine and whatever, you know, after mavushal, it was a gefarlachim. Okay, so that's nice. The inyanim of wine, and like I said, you're all here for schnapps. Okay. Now, schnapps is definitely, whiskey schnapps is definitely a major chelik of our religion. It's definitely a major part of our tradition. You know, ad kedei kach, it's just musagim, you know, when I traveled to England a couple of years ago, and I walked into the duty-free. So this is in Heathrow, in Heathrow Airport. I think it's one of the biggest in the world. Maybe it is the biggest in the world, right? And there's a lady over there who works in the duty-free, and she walks around all day long with a tray with little drops of whiskey. And they told me afterward that she looks like she's 80 years old, but she's only 35. I'm not sure why the age is. That's what they told me. And when I walked in there, because this is before we were writing the book, and I was talking, looking around to see, you know, what we're talking over here, what is whiskey? You know, you write a book, Reboch Ber, you know, the first time that he saw an ox, he saw a shore, he went over and he kissed it, he said, ah, the heilig ox, you know, this is the Shor Shenagach, you know, do something, you've been waiting for it to shtoy, he's told. So I went over, this is the first time I saw whiskey, talking about it all day long, with sherry and bourbon, I'm moving, this is it, this is the whiskey. So she came over, and she starts directing me. She says to me, no, sherry, I can't do the English accent, my wife will make fun of me, but this is not for you, this is for you. You know, like the Jewish section over here, she's asking that sherry's a problem for us. She's got it, you'll see, she's much more machmer than I am, right? We'll see in a moment. But this is definitely, you see, it's ad kedei kach, that if they have, that's her job, that's her station, her in the Heathrow Airport. An interesting, even more interesting fact, this is fresh off the press, which I can't verify, but I just spoke by the Aguda, by the Achikala, and somebody there, one of the heads of the Aguda, told me a very interesting story, which I kind of heard parts of it before, so, you know, it's already Kimach Ne'edim. He told me that apparently about 20 years ago, there was some type of Palestinian bikush to make sanctions against Eretz Yisrael or something of that nature, and different countries were signing on. And one of the countries that signed on, this is, none of this comes from me, I'm not a provocative person by nature, this is what I was told, that one of the countries that signed on was Scotland. You know the story? Oh, okay, now we have a based in Rabbi Sah. You want to tell the story? Because I hope they'll tell me if I get it right.
There was a problem.
So Scotland signed on also to this, anti-Israel stance and whatever. So apparently, the American... I don't know what it's called. There must be some name for this. I hope I'm not messing this up. But the American Kiddush Club, greater club. I always thought it was just a bunch of guys that went down during Maftir. But apparently there's like some organization of these chevra that smell like Brumfim and herring, you know, these type of chevra. And apparently they have a whole organization. And they, you know, wrote in, like, you know, some very strong statements, like, that's it, we're boycotting. And so interesting, all these chevra over there with the skirts, within a day, it was gone. Right? And the sanctions were lifted, and Scotland took their name off because they understood the ramifications of that statement was, you know, like, well, they're going to go to Bourbon, they're going to go to Kentucky to drink the... Is it, you heard such a story? Okay, I'm afraid to say over such a story, but now that I have an aide, so I'll pay you afterward. But so it definitely is something that even if you yourself are not a whiskey drinker, but we must admit that it's a part somewhere in our society. So what's the shadow? The Edson whiskey, just for the layman amongst us, like myself, and when I used to talk about this, I used to sound foolish. I would say Chalila, I would say bourbon, scotch, whiskey, I would put them all together, and that's mamish, like, it's not even blasphemy, it's worse than apikorsis. It's chas v'shalom, chas v'chalila. I thought schnapps is scotch. That's what I thought. You don't know the difference. If bourbon is from Kentucky, bourbon is American whiskey, okay? That's, let's make segregation of it. And whiskey, scotch, we'll call scotch, that is from Scotland. And what we're going to be talking tonight primarily is going to be about scotch whiskey, which is primarily produced in Scotland. And that's where the issue is predominantly found. Now, I'll explain. Give me a little bit of patience to give you the history first. Just the Matthias says whiskey, apiteva, should be a kosher product. We shouldn't have many problems. We'll see in a minute one possible problem, but Derek Cloud, whiskey is a very, very controlled market. It's very, very specific. It's a very old, very historic. People are very, very, I don't know what the word is, nostalgic about their whiskey. And therefore, you can't put in this and you can't put in that. And it's a very controlled market. There can't be too many additives and preservatives and mechule and all types. It definitely certainly can't be in flavors. It's a very controlled market. It's Sachakol has barley, grain, whatever your whiskey's being made of. And it's not much in there. What could be an issue? Yashin Chadish. If you have an issue of Yashin and Chadish, you should return the bottle. All the bottles that are within a year, you're not buying a whiskey that was produced within a year. So we shouldn't have Yashin, we shouldn't have Chadash. And the only issue, which Taka is a very, very serious issue, Taka, because of this, that's why really there was never a Shaila in bourbon. Bourbon is such a controlled market. There's something called a bourbon cask. And a bourbon cask, or a bourbon barrel, for those that, the laymen amongst us, a bourbon barrel is a barrel that no sherry or wine has come near. Therefore, there can't be any shiloh. The sachakol, what is it? It's just a nice water and some grains and whatnot. It's a very controlled product. No yashin, no chash. The only problem is if there's a Jew that owns the bourbon. If there's a Jew that owns the company, or if he's a major shareholder, this could be a problem of a chametz shel erev Pesach, because obviously the whiskey you're getting has undergone one Pesach or many Pesachim, or since Yetzias Mitzrayim, your whiskey, some of the really good ones have been there when Moshe Rabbeinu was going out. So this is before Columbus came to America, for those that don't know. Tachlis, that's the only issue that could be with bourbon. And the truth is, until a few years ago, that's what everyone knew. Bourbon, there's no shaila, there's no issue, and you just buy a bourbon and there's no problem. And that's really why there was never kashrus on bourbon. There's no such thing 20 years ago, 15 years ago, you couldn't find a extra symbol on a bourbon. On a bourbon, again, American whiskey. The problem is, in the last few years, it became known that a lot of the bourbon, some of the famous ones are taka owned by Jews, and this is a very serious problem. And you realize it's a very, very serious problem because we can't rectify the past. That means that a bottle that's coming into the market now, even if we caught the problem now when we went over to the owners and we explained to them that the Kiddush Club is not going to buy, so that works from here and forward. But that does not work for a bottle that was already been aged, and whiskey's myla, like a yid, is to be aged. So it's a problem. That's bourbon. I'm going to stay away from bourbon tonight because I'm smart. And bourbon is a very big problem. The chametz shel erev Pesach problem is an issue, and you have to be aware of it. Certainly have to be aware of it. Which ones is very easy. You could look online. It's a very, very simple thing to find out. Which bourbon, you just look on your bourbon, and you will find out within one moment the religious standing of the owner and the major shareholders in your bourbons, and the OU already has shared this information globally, and I will allow them to be the spreaders of this Lashon Tov. So that's, we'll leave it like that. That's bourbon. Scotch is gewaldig. What could be the problem with scotch? Scotch has, mamish, it's not owned by any Jews. There's no Jews over there. There's, it's not same thing, the grain, the this, the that, and they pride themselves on aging it for years and years and years. And the Torah, there is no problem, and there really was no problem until about 40 years ago, there was no problem. The problem started about 40 years ago, 50 years ago even now. The Spaniards were, they had these casks of wine. They were making wine in Spain and Madrid and all the places where they're making wine. And now they had all these barrels of wine. And what do you do with a barrel of wine? After you finish the barrel of wine, what do you do with it? It's a shot of the gelt. Okay? So somehow the fellows in Scotland got their hands, again, I'm oversimplifying a little bit for your enjoyment, but they got their hands on these barrels. And maybe the wine was being shipped there. And once the wine was being shipped there, it's a shud. Now, the wine, the whiskey producers have a benefit to use a barrel that was previously used. Simply used with anything. Because the barrel taste, the wood taste, is a very strong taste. It's fennels and all other types of products in there, which is a very strong taste. And nobody wants his whiskey to have a wooden taste. We have things that, you know, we want our Stender to have a wooden taste, and we fall asleep on the Gemara. But we don't want our whiskey to have a woody taste. Nobody wants that. So Mamela, if the barrel has been shipped with wine, it's a mamish commodity. So it was a big simcha. They had a product, right? Everything's gewaldig. They have a product. We have a necessity. So they took the barrels and they put their whiskey in the barrels. They need to sit, these barrels have to sit for years and years and years. And they aged the barrels. They aged these whiskeys, excuse me, in these previously used wine barrels. From this point on, I'll call it sherry. It's lav dafka sherry. Sherry is a type of wine. And of course, this wine is non-kosher wine. Obviously, that wine was goyish produced, and we paskin that even if they press it with their feet, there are more yoredeya paskins, I think, in kufav dalid, that so whatever they're pressing it with, it's non-kosher. That wine is for sure non-kosher. And now you have these barrels of wine that seemingly should produce this problem, because the whiskey's sitting in a barrel of wine, a barrel that previously held wine. That's the issue that came up. The truth is, 40, 50 years ago, there was no issue. There's no issue. Why was there no issue 40, 50 years ago? And maybe more startling is whatever I'm going to say now is going to be almost impossible to turn into an issue. The reason was, is because 40, 50 years ago, somebody opened up the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin, I think it was Simen Dalet over there, and he opened up and he said, whoa, they're putting my whiskey inside a barrel with wine. Whoa, this is dreadful. It's geferlich, what do I do? And so he looks in the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridei and it says, no problem. It says, wine is pagan. Wine is pagan, other foods, other liquids, wine is pagan. The only thing that wine gives a good taste to is maybe wine, but nothing more. Wine gives off a dreadful taste to any liquid. So it's game over, there's no problem. And so it's a gewaldic thing. They're happy, and they have their barrels, and everybody's happy. Okay, that's what happened 40, 50 years ago, and the truth is, we'll see in a moment, it's quite funny. Somebody after the Yachikala asked me, what if I have a bottle from 50, 60 years ago? And that, you'll see in a moment how something could actually change. It's a grace of Shiloh. 50, 60 years ago, there was no Shiloh. Because Taka, the wine, Chazal tell us that wine is not a Milah when it infects a different drink. It's not a Milah, it's not a benefit. So therefore, there can't be a Shiloh. It's no problem. Mela, we're back to the fact that it's Yashim Chodesh, whatever, no problem. We're back to the fact that it's owned by Goyim, there's no Chamash Shalom HaPesach. And Mela, it's Gevaldik, it's L'chaim. The problem was that the Spaniards, I don't know who you want to blame, it depends on different shitas, somebody got cheap, this one, that one, but there's somebody over here got wind of this, that, what am I doing? We're wasting away money over here. Some say it was the Scottish. The Scottish started to say, wait a minute, why am I spending all this money on their barrels? You know, we can produce barrels without taste. They'll take out the taste of the wood without having to buy their barrels or whatever. Or maybe the Spaniards changed their tsura of import-export. But somehow it changed. So what changed? Now they started to take their own barrels and they put the whiskey in their own barrels. What happened? A few years later, somebody's drinking his whiskey. That fellow starts drinking his whiskey. It's worse than the mice with the three bears, Yana Medrash. You know, the Medrash with the three bears. Somebody's been sleeping in my bed. And he says, somebody's, Medrash, not such a known Medrash, but somebody's been, my porridge, somebody's been hugging ass in my porridge over here. So this poor fellow, he got up one morning, he took a shlivavitz, and he said, oh, what does this? Something happened over here, but it doesn't taste the same as yesterday. You know that person, you know, the fellow that probably he knows the difference between Pepsi and Coke and RC and this and that, you know, and he said, I'm telling you, it tastes different. It doesn't taste like the same. He got enough chevra, and this is even before internet, so you know there's a real emes to it. He got enough people on his side. It's not good, it doesn't taste the same anymore. Right? I'm sure this was the hack at the Kiddush Club for a few years, and there was that person saying, I'm telling you, it doesn't taste the same. Yeah, shkayach, right? But after a while, enough people started to say, it doesn't taste the same. And the taka started to complain, our whiskey doesn't taste the same, what's going on over here, something's changed. And they realized, I'll tell you what changed. I'll tell you what changed. We're using barrels that don't have a sherry taste, a wine taste to it. And once they got wind of this, it's all was taking place over the course of a decade. I said, that's it, and we got to get the sherry back. They started, okay, how they did it, what they did, that's irrelevant. But now they started to realize that the sherry, the wine, has a benefit in the whiskey. And now starts the shiloh. If the wine and the sherry has a benefit in the whiskey, so now we have a major shiloh, because that wine, it's so much so, it's giving a taste that every one of the connoisseurs is claiming. You know, in halacha, we reckon with connoisseurs. We reckon with the concept of a kfeila, of a person that tastes something, it tells if it does have a taste, if it doesn't have a taste. So now all the experts, the Kiddush clubs, and yeah, every gegen and every neighbor and every shtetl, is claiming that it tastes different. So now we have a problem. So we should still not have a problem. No, we should still not have a problem. Well, I don't care what a bunch of drunk, can't call them goyim now, right? But I don't care what a bunch of drunk people say. The Shulchan Aruch is not like you. The Shulchan Aruch says in Yoreh Day, in Simin Kof Lamed Zayin, it's a very dikazach. When you write a sefer, you get to the all the people come and say, what are you talking about? Like the whole sefer is batul and mavotel. It's the first Shulchan Aruch. And you're like, I wrote a whole sefer and I forgot the first Shulchan Aruch. Thank you. I never would have written. It's unbelievable. So the first Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says explicitly in Yoreh Day, in Simin Kof Lamed Zayin, that you take whiskey, you take wine bleis, wine barrels, and put it together with other liquids, non-wine liquids, it's pagan. So I don't care that a bunch of goyim or a bunch of even Jews are walking around and saying, well, like that, they're happy coursing. You know, if a person doesn't put a blech on Shabbos, and he doesn't stoke the food, because I'll tell us that if you don't stoke the food, so a person doesn't put a blech, he's gonna stoke. So if you didn't stoke, you're not happy coursing. Right? Because Chazal say that you're going to stoke, you're going to come to monkey with the fire. So you do. I don't care that a bunch of goyim say that it tastes good. It doesn't taste good. Chazal say it doesn't taste good. The Shalom is who's right. What does logic say? Logic has no saying over here. And Takut, there are Paiskim, that's what they say. They say that, we don't listen to them. Their das is battle. And the Minchas Yitzchak, there's a very famous tshuva about this. It's difficult to understand this. Now, for two reasons. One is a very halachic cheshbin, it's difficult to understand this, and one is just a simple cheshbin. Right? The halachic cheshbin is that in halacha, it's extremely not pashut to say that wine is paikin the taste of whiskey. I keep telling you that it says in Shulchan Aruch that wine is paikin the taste of liquids. However, there's a tremendous machlekes in the Achrayim which liquids this applies to. Does it apply to whiskey? So, there's a Chassam Sofer, and there's Marsham, these are the great Paiskim that discuss these inyanim. There's even really a Magen Avraham, maybe even a Mishnah Berurah that sounds like this. But the Mishnah Berurah is hard, so I'm not going to go into Mishnah Berurah, but there's certainly a Magen Avraham, and there's certainly a Chassam Sofer, Shabbat Piyam Al Chayim, and they say, this doesn't apply to whiskey. Whiskey's a Charif, whiskey's this. Like you all know in Halacha, whiskey has different status than a lot of inyanim. And if whiskey gets a wine taste, Adrabba, it makes us a Lebedik. It doesn't make it worse, it makes it better. And this halach applies to other liquids. If you have wine that mixes with milk, which we talk all understand. Mashaykin, if you have wine that mixes with... So according to those paiskim, there's nothing to discuss. They hold that wine has a good effect, the wine bleas that are inside these barrels, that could do have a good effect on the whiskey. And according to them, it's clear it's a davar pashit, that we have a shayla. We don't have a problem yet, but we have a shayla at least. We have a shayla. The truth is, there's a night of Behuda, that the night of Yud in one place, Taka sounds like even whiskey, wine is pagan, that the wine taste gets ruined, it ruins the whiskey and can't be a milo. But there's a steer in the night of Yud. And the night of Yud in a different place is not like that. Again, I'm oversimplifying, as you realize tonight, I can't go out of sight. So you have the Chassam Sofer, you have the Marsham, you have at least one side of the night of Yud, so we'll cancel out the night of Yud. And therefore, you have a very big side that the whole Shiloh doesn't even begin, meaning that there is a Shiloh, that you can't just stand behind the Shulchan Aruch and say that there's no Shiloh. Of course, there's a Shiloh, according to most Paiskim. And I would say that the Pashtus, the way we Paskin, is that we're Chayshish for the Shita Bevada. It's not like some Nitchatik Shita. More so, is that everybody says, Tom, you have to ask, it's like, I don't know if it's Hashkafik Dik Shiloh again, like I told you, you know. One Shiloh we're going to have to ask Rabbi Malinowitz tonight is, what are we holding about pastorization? Okay, that's one shayla. Now I have another shayla. It's more of like a shkafetik halachetik shayla, which you get all over in halacha. You know, Rabbi said, you guys eat sushi. You eat sushi. I don't either. I'm okay, but you know. But I don't stand with those people and say, no, it's still moksa. You know, raw fish, it's moksa. First Shulchan Aruch. if you move it, then, you know, I'll move, can I eat it with my mouth? You know, you see people, the Moshe Nefesh will eat it with their feet. What do you mean it's moksa? What's moksa? People eat it today. Rabbi said, is there anything more paikim in the world than raw fish? By Chazal, for sure, no. Chazal said that raw fish is moksa. There's nothing in the world more paikim than raw fish. That is the dogma that Chazal gave of something that is moksa, raw fish. Today you eat it. So you're all paikim. Yeah, you're all paikim. No? So what's the answer? What's the answer? The answer is that, you know, if Ravina and Ravashi didn't eat raw fish. So that in their mitzias, the mitzias was, it was paikim. What happens if the mitzias changes and we start liking paikim tastes? I don't know, it's a shkofet dikashayla. You ask your Rav, I don't know, maybe it's a lacha dikashayla. I think it's a lacha dikashayla. Mechazitzka thinks it's a lacha dikashayla. He says, if people start telling me that this wine is good, so then, I don't know, so then the Shulchan Aruch says it's not good. So then they didn't like the taste, and we do like the taste. Well, maybe that's a shayla. Maybe that's not considered that it's paikim. We taka enjoy the taste of the wine inside the whiskey. I'll make it a little bit stronger. And the Mechazitzlik Betzim himself makes it a bit stronger. Rabbi said, they had barrels that they were, back then, saying in the times of Chazal, even in the time of the Shulchan Aruch, maybe, even if you go with the Shita, that wine is pagan with whiskey, that wine is pagan, excuse me, that wine is pagan whiskey, which I told you is very not pashut, but even if you'll say with that Shita. Rabbi said, that was when the wine was in a barrel, was poured out of the barrel, and you put the whiskey in, it wasn't the milo. They're doing so many processes. They're doing processing, right? They're doing so many processes to this wine to make it have a specific type of taste. I don't know if the wine that we're talking about and the process that they're doing something to the wine that makes it that it's not paikim. Do you know what they do when they send this barrel? If they send the barrel from overseas, you know what they do? They do all types of processes, charring, toasting, all these different names. I don't want to get it wrong, because one time I got it wrong. I think it's called toasting, right? They toast the wine into the, not a toaster, right? They toast the wine, like blow dry the wine into the barrel. They're doing a process to make the wine keep its incredible taste. They're doing something to it that I don't know if you can compare the wine belia that they had to the wine belia that we had. And I believe at that point, that I believe, I'm saying the Pais can believe at that point, that therefore we have to rechen, we have to be machshev, the das of the connoisseurs, the people that are telling us that we enjoy the taste. So therefore this allows us at least to go to the next shlav, that there is no Mefarish Shulchan Aruch that says that sherry cask is not a shayla, there's no Mefarish Shulchan Aruch, there's a shayla. Now we go to the shayla. So now we have blias from a wine barrel, that was a non-kosher wine barrel, that there's a benefit in that blia. And now we want to know, is our whiskey, if it is infected by this blia, is it a problem? Okay, so now you have another shayla. Now, I must tell you, there are other svaras, and, you know, what should I tell you? The Nayyid Yehuda has a tshuva, and he has a correspondence with his mechotin. He has a few tshuvas, in the 76th tshuva, in the 77th tshuva, 78th tshuva over there. He has a correspondence. His mechotin was called the Hamburger Rub, I think it was. And he over there, they had a big machlekes about shlichus. There's a whole story over there that a woman had she didn't want to take a get. Ganze Meisa, she didn't want to take a get. And so they grabbed, the husband sent shlichim, they grabbed this lady, and they put the get in her hand, against her will. They put the get in her hand. And then afterward became a shayla, a big machlekes between the Noid of Yehuda and his mechotin. What was the big shayla? They would say, Ein shliach dvar aveira. It's a very famous shayla. It's talking to the yeshivas and talk about Ein shliach dvar aveira. When you say Ein shliach dvar aveira, does it mean that the shlichus doesn't work bichlal? Ein shliach dvar aveira. So here, they're over on chayim, they're rabbeinu gershon. And that's also shayla, that called an aveira. So do we say now that the shlichus is batal? To the extent that they gave the get, and the get isn't chal. Because Ein shliach dvar aveira. Or do we say, no, taka, the shlichus is yes chal, but it's an aveira, and whatever. A big fight between the Noid of Yehuda and his mechotin. He's time, you see how to talk to a mechotin. See over there. In the middle of one of his rebuttal, the Night of Yehuda, the mechotin. I wonder if he gave it to his, you know, he gave it to his aide. Here, bring it to your father. I'm not bringing this. I'm sorry? I'm not bringing this. In the middle of the tshuva over there, he writes like this. He has like 13 tainus. The mechotin had 13 reasons why he was right. 13 reasons. So the Neid of Yehuda writes like this, you should know, this one, number 11, I'm not even going to answer. I'm not going to answer. It's so bad that it's a zilzal in your covet of Torah. That's what he writes. He says, but I have no brain rot. Listen to this. And I'm upset with you because you know, I'm upset with you because I have to answer this taina because I know what people do. I do this also. I know what you're talking about. What they do is like this. They see tshuvas, they see two gedolim that are writing tshuvas, a chatal sheni, and they say, okay, he had 13 tainas, he answered 11. Ah, he wins. So man, I have no brayro. What am I going to do? I'm not going to answer all 13 tainas, and then somebody's going to come along callous, and he's going to say, ah, okay, the Hamburger Rav wins because he had 13 questions, and his Mechutin, Rabbi Landel, only had 11 answers, so he wins. So, but I'm very upset with you because I have to answer this teretz, and it's going to make you look mamish keferlich, and I'm very upset with you. I feel the same way about some of the tainas on the whiskey, the Shiloh. Again, there's a big Shiloh moment, which I will mention. That's the Iker Shiloh here. But there's a lot of svaras that people say that, again, I have no brain but to answer that, because what will happen is afterward, Kederach HaOilom, is they'll go around and you know, they'll find out what's the Shiloh in whiskey and Chulei. They'll find out, oh, that's a tie, he didn't answer that. So, man, I have no brain but to answer them. Again, that some of them really, they're not right to be even discussed in public. For example, one of the tainas, Kevyachu, that they talk about, they say that they did experimenting, testing, laboratory testing, and they found that the amount of sherry taste, the taste of wine, that's actually in the whiskey, is 0.00, I'll make up a number because it's irrelevant, right? But it's tiny, teeny, it's not even tiny, it's teeny. It's 0.00 to the trillionth and whatever, and they did a whole test, and that's for sure batel b'shishin. Oh, okay. I just want you to know something. With that tiny shel hevel, you can upfreg the ganze yoredeya. That means in English, me can upfregen the ganze yoredeya with the taina. Verstehst? With that taina, you can knock out all of yoredeya. Because if you start doing that with your chametz kelim, you're going to find smaller amounts of blias. If you start doing that with your milk and meat kelim and your ovens, you're going to find smaller amount of blias. And it's lakshin. It's not lakshin. Lakshin is kosher. It's narishkeit. It's absolutely narishkeit. Chazal did not reckon with these types of cheshbainis. We have a Kabbalah. If I say there are certain things we have a Kabbalah on, which definitely don't have logic to them. We have a Kabbalah that you have to be mevatel shishin times the kelim, times the actual kli itself. It's impossible that we should have that amount of blias. Whoever knows from Yoredeya should be laughing now and knows what I'm talking about. It's absolutely ludicrous. And this is a tevel, a tainishal hevel. It should be Michael me that I have to mention in an Eidah Kedoshah, but these are the tainas, you know. It's another taina that they bring that perhaps you're not getting a taste. You're not getting a taste. It's not the pshat. When you drink this whiskey and you're smelling, you're tasting the sherry, it's not a taste, it's a reyach, it's a smell. And we know that when a person has a cold, this is how they back up the taina, when a person has a cold, so then he loses his sense of smell. He loses his sense of taste. Excuse me. He loses his sense of taste. So maybe it's not misyaches to the taste, it's misyaches to the smell. So that what you think, that when you're drinking and you're tasting the sherry, you're not really tasting the sherry, you're really smelling the sherry. If you do the logic, it's the opposite. But I don't know, I'm afraid to do this during share, but it's the opposite. By the cold, you lose the sense of, did I lose any of you? By a cold, you lose your sense of smell and your sense of taste. It doesn't mean that if you don't have a cold, your sense of smell turns into a sense of taste. Okay, whatever. But it logically it's incorrect. But even if it is correct, which it's not, then you'd have another problem. That's the other half of Yoredeya, which you just franked up. So then all the cases in Yoredeya that they talk about something which you're tasting, and it has the taste, they give it to a kfeila, and he says, no, there's taka a little bit of nevela in there. I taste the nevela. You tell him, no, it's kosher. It's not that you're tasting it, you're smelling it. It's the same thing. You can do that everywhere in Yoredeya. So therefore, these tainas, the daiti are batal. Batal b'shishin, batal b'elef. And therefore, it's not the ikr shayla. The ikr shayla that the paiskin dealt with is based on, this is another thing, when we wrote the sefer, so they told us afterward, it's a Ramosha has a truth about this. Imagine writing a book on whiskey and forgetting Ramosha has a truth about this. It's gaval taka. Right? A guy like that shouldn't write a sefer, right? So in the book, there's an entire chapter about Ramosha. There's no truth in the ikr shayla about this shayla. It's not true. No such thing. Much never discussed sherry casks. It's quite interesting, actually. I don't know if the person that told the Metzias to Rav Moshe made a mistake in the Metzias, and that was the tshuva that Rav Moshe was discussing, because Kefi, what I told you, the whiskey market is a very controlled market, and the way it was set over to Rav Moshe really can't be. They told Rav Moshe, or maybe, I don't know, maybe this was the Metzias at one point and whatnot, I have no idea. But Kapanim, it certainly is not the Metzias today and can't be the Metzias. The question that the Akers Maish is dealing with is that they were potentially, that was the suffix, they weren't even sure, if they were putting wine, Gaish wine, Mamish putting the wine into the whiskey. That's the Shaila Maish is dealing with, which was not our Shaila. And we'll see in a minute, it's a tremendous difference. Maish is dealing with that they were actually putting the wine in the whiskey. Now again, I don't believe that this Metzias was. I think it's hard to believe such a Metzias, right?
I don't think
it's the case.
Sorry? It comes from the cask.
Can be. No, that for sure today, for sure it's incorrect. I'm saying, but that's how they phrase the question to Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe's question is based on that Metzias. And Rav Moshe goes on to say, sorry, Rav Moshe take a tshuva, which I'll explain now and see how it pertains to us, but it's not the same Shaila. Our Shaila is a totally different Shaila. And ironically, our Shaila is going to be much worse. Because we think, well, come on, over there it's just Blias. By us, it's just Blias. And over there, it's the actual wine. It's not true. We'll see in a moment. It's going to be much easier to be mevatel a small amount of wine. So Ramesh has a tshuva, a very, very sadistic tshuva. Ramesh says that, first of all, I'm not sure if they are putting in wine, so it becomes a suffix. That's issue number one. Number two, Ramesh has a very sadistic tshuva. There's a famous machlekes in Yeridea between the Shach and the Taz. We are used to the concept of the batel b'shishim, and therefore, Ramesh says over here that Lefi the Shach, who learns these rules, are the same rules of regular kolatar kula, so you need to be batel b'shishim. So Moshe says that according to the Shach, they're telling me they put in wine, and they're telling me it might not be batel b'shishim, so then it's a shayla. That's how Moshe Kivyachol starts the tshuva. We'll say it like that. Then Moshe says, first of all, it's not so pashut they're putting in wine. That was the shayla. They didn't know if they were actually putting in wine. And I'm telling you they probably didn't put in wine. But number two, Rav Moshe says, there's also a shita of the Taz. What's a shita of the Taz? The Taz says that wine is different than kol hatar kula, which is a very respectable shita in halacha. The shita of the Taz is that wine gets nisbatel in shesh, six. Wine doesn't need 60 to overpower it. Wine only needs six to overpower it. It has to do with the cheshbon and the gemara. By water, it's clearly like that, water and wine. The shita of Rav Moshe, l'shita sataz, which Rav Moshe says is the ikar halacha, that all you need to be mevatel wine is six. So it says Rav Moshe, over here we might not have 60 in the case that Rav Moshe was discussing, but we certainly have six. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, in our case over here where I don't even know if they're putting in wine in the first place, such a safek if there's a problem according to the Shach, and even if there is a problem according to the Shach, but certainly the amount of wine they're putting in is definitely batel b'shesh. They're not putting in an amount, half the thing is wine. They're putting in maybe a little bit of wine, but it's certainly batel in 40, batel in 50. It just might not be batel in shishim. So Rav Moshe says, therefore, his famous tshuva. Rav Moshe says, therefore, medina it's mutter. Rav Moshe goes on to say, a bal nefesh should be machmir in this case. And then Rav Moshe says, if I was at a simcha and they would serve me a cup, I wouldn't want to embarrass the host, and I would be soymich in this case on the taz and mechule mechule. That's the end of the tshuva. And that tshuva, I can't say has nothing to do with us, has a lot to do with us, but it's a different tshuva. We have to build now from Rav Moshe to the metzias that we have. So what's the metzias? So most of us sit here and think, okay, come on. The barrel over here, it's definitely probably batel b'shishim, right? At least, come on, the barrel is batel b'shishim. So that's tam. In halacha, that's a concept, which is an accepted concept. The contents of a pot are never going to be able to be mevatel the pot b'shishim. So we are starting out with a much worse shayla than Rav Moshe. Dine, let me explain. We're starting out with a shayla that we know bevadai there are blias in the barrel. So we don't have Rav Moshe's suffix, maybe they're not even putting in wine. And another thing is that we know for sure it's not batel b'shishim. That's the second part. So now our question is, okay, but do we at least have the taz? This taz sounds mind-boggling, right? Is the amount of whiskey mevatel the sheish of the wine? I mean, come on. Of course it's mevatel sheish. The whiskey has to be at least six times the amount of the blias. So this is what I thought when I started learning the sugya. And there's a Rav from Chicago, Rabbi Niels, he has a very big work about this, a very, very thorough explanation of the topic and a very, very thorough mathematical equation that he makes. And he measured the barrels with special barrel measurements, which I will not, bore you with, but I won't, Chalila, I can't go into now. He has a cheshbon, anyway, you can see his cheshbon, where he shows you that the content, the barrels are very thick, Rabbi Niels. These are very serious barrels. They're not just like, this is not a bottle of Tempo. These are thick barrels. And he makes a cheshbon that the barrel is not, the content of the barrel, the whiskey is not mevatel the barrel by six. It makes a mathematical chesed. Now, for us, this is so hard to understand because, come on, the whole thing is not one big piece of wine. But in halacha, we do say that. In halacha, we say we don't know how to make the chesed. So therefore, you have to be mevatel the wools. So he makes the chesed, which is incredible. It comes out to be this, that the barrel of whiskey is yefik, and therefore your whiskey only has four times the amount or three times the amount. Now, if you leave now, all your whiskey is treif. All your scotch is treif. Okay, so you can leave now, because don't leave now. Right. So, Maisa, first of all, what I just said, and Levitis, it's a problem, meaning, this is a very, very important cheshbon. I mean, we lost Rav Moshe, right, Rav Moshe? Even according to the Taz, we only had the Taz, but now we don't have the Taz anymore. Because according to the Taz, we have to at least be Batal B'Sheish, and we're no longer Batal B'Sheish. Okay, so now, before you leave, said, there's another Taz. This Taz Rav Moshe doesn't discuss. There's no Rav Moshe that discusses it. It's Chaval that we don't have a Rav Moshe about this. But there's another machlekes Taz and Shach. The Taz has two kulas over here. Usually in your day, it's not exactly like that. But the Taz has two kulas over here, and the Shach has two chumras. The Taz is another kula that when we are mevatel, we do not need to be mevatel the entire thickness of the barrel. The Shach says we do. The Taz says we don't. The Taz says we only need to be mevatel the inner klipa. Is it klipa in English? The inner layer, the inner thinnest most layer. If we only have to be mevatel, the thinnest most layer, we're for sure going to be able to have definitely six times that amount, and then also 60 times the amount, possibly, maybe. This is a tremendous machlekes. The Shach argues, lalacha, it's a tremendous machlekes how we paskin, right? But that would be the first basis to be mevatel. But over here, it's very hard to use this kula. Very hard to use this kula. You're getting excited because okay, now we're on. You know, now we have at least something. There's a sugya in Avodah Zara, which is brought to Halacha and Shulchan Aruch in Yodaya, called Cheres Hadreini. You know, there used to be Hadreini. I guess it was Hordas's Chevra, the soldiers. No, I got it wrong.
Who?
Hadrian. Hadrian. I didn't know these guys know English. I don't know English. So this Hadrian character, how are you going to get these guys to go to war? You get to go to war. They come back dead. He sits in the palace. So what you do is like this. You give them a little piece of cheres, a little piece of pottery. You soak it with wine. Soak it like gorge, dark wine. And then everywhere they go, so if they get thirsty, they take that piece of cheres and they soak it in water, and then they have wine wherever they go. They made a pottery that was if I say petal, I might get sued, but they filled it up with wine, and that's how they made their drink of wine wherever they went. This concept is, if you look into the process, what they're doing with these barrels and these wine barrels, they're doing somewhat the same thing. They're toasting it in, their mamish toasting it stark. You can't apply the Taz in a case where they're taking the wine and they're trying to pack up the entire thickness of the barrel, and they're getting a benefit from the entire thickness of the barrel. How could you apply the Taz? You can't apply the Taz in a situation where they were mamish doing processes to get it in there. This is doing the Cheres Hadreini. And Rabelski, Zeichat Tzadik Lebracha, he held this is a very, very, very serious shaila because of that. So this is where we stand. So now if you go home, you're in trouble. You don't have the Taz anymore. So all your whiskey that is a sherry infected is going to be non-kosher. However, before you just leave, right? It's not like that. Because many of the whiskeys don't have necessarily the extent of the, meaning scotch, don't get confused. We're in scotch right now, we're in Scotland. But many of the Scottish whiskeys don't have this issue to the extent that I portrayed. For example, the case that would certainly be a problem according to what I'm saying is if you have a whiskey that is a single cask, which means it is, and there are names in the book, I brought down all the names, I'm not fluent in all the names by heart, but if it was aged singly in sherry casks, and then let's say, you know, sometimes they'll have three types of tastes and whatnot, and they're all primarily only sherry casks, exclusive sherry casks, then you have the issue that we're dealing with. And there are names for this, which you can look in the book. If something is exclusively sherry, you have all these issues. That means that it was always aged in a sherry cask in every schlab of the way. And even if they have three, four whiskeys, they might have, but it was always aged together. And then you have this issue. You have that the according to the Shach, for sure it's a problem because it's not batal b'shishim. And according to the Taz, maybe it's okay because you need to be batal b'sheish. But wait, it's not batal b'sheish. Ah, but when then we have the klipa cheshbin, you only have to be mevatel the klipa. Yeah, but what about cheres the training? So you have all these problems. And that, I would say, you certainly don't have a Rav Moshe Chalila. There's no Rav Moshe about this. There's absolutely no Rav Moshe about this. It's an absolute toyist to say there's Rav Moshe about this. And therefore, in this case, I would say a person who is who prides himself on being makbid on kashrus should absolutely not drink it. Absolutely not drink it. An exclusively aged sherry cask. And that's why in the book we wrote X. It's not permissible. It is talking not permissible. There's absolutely no Rav Moshe in the world that says it is. No. However, this other types of sherry on the market, which is, I think, rave of our examples on the list over there. The Hainu, you have, for example, I'll go to the most extreme, which isn't even on the list. We didn't even put it on the list. For example, what does this have to do with blue label and black label and red label and green label and rainbow label? What does it have to do with that? So ironically, even something with a green label and a blue label, etc., ironically, those are going to be much, much less of a problem. Because if you know a little bit about blended, that's called a blended whiskey.
Not single
malts. They're not single malts. A blended whiskey is really a combination of maybe sometimes 50 whiskeys, okay? Not all of those whiskeys, Rabbi, were aged in sherry casks. Most of them were absolutely not aged in sherry casks. Maybe one of those 40, so now start doing the math. Now the numbers are much different numbers. That means I have 30, 40 bottles of whiskey over here that were aged in blends. That's the whole worth of a blend. They were aged in 40 separate casks. None of those were sherry casks. Don't forget, sherry's expensive. They have to buy sherry casks. They don't, you know. And now you take all 30, 40 of those sherry casks. One or two of those sherry casks, they were sherry. 30, 40 were not sherry. There was time oak casks, bourbon casks, and whatnot. Then you have one other that was. Now, it doesn't work, the math, to say, okay, but it's not batal b'shishim. It's probably batal b'shishim even. Because don't forget, you're adding all these numbers now to all of these barrels, and it's quite possible, certainly in something like black label, red label, which are a cheaper brand, cheaper type, that those are blended and it's very, very rare that you'll find sherry in there. But even blue label and green label, which you will find sherry in there, but the amount of sherry content is so buttle that it might be butter gummer, might be, but maybe apis is a makam to be machmer. I'd say it like that. And there's no remotion about this. That's the two extremes. A blended is one extreme. So ironically, you know, the people that thought they had to be machmer, they thought, forget it, the blue label is for sure a problem. It's not true. Blue label is mutter. And maybe episemachim to be machmir, episemachim. It's not even as much as a machmir that Rav Moshe was talking about. It's even less of the level that Rav Moshe was talking about. It's probably about the b'shisha, maybe it's not about the b'shisha, maybe epis. Okay. And then the other, just give me one moment, I just want to finish this chesed. The other extent, like we said, is a single, exclusively sherry-aged cask type of a whiskey. That for sure could be a problem. That's for sure a problem. In the middle, you have others. You have some whiskeys that, and everything, Rabbi says, it's all transparent. And in the book, we bring down all the websites, and everything is transparent. There's no, in the back, we bring down exactly all the information comes from them. They give you all the information. They profit this information. And to say in Irishkeit, like, they're making it up and whatnot, it's laws, Rabbi says. It's not negated. It's a joke. So there are a lot of whiskeys that will say it was aged, and you'll see in the back of the book, and there are a lot of whiskeys that say that it was aged in a sherry cask, and a bourbon cask, and a this. Now, you gotta start doing math. And that's why you're gonna see in the book that a lot of those cases, once it wasn't singly, exclusively aged in a sherry cask, it turns into this middle level, and in the book, we call that middle level the scrupulous, what do we call it? The scrupulous, for the scrupulous should be makbid, not the scrupulous should drink it. The scrupulous should not drink it, but it is mutter midina. Because the cheshbon that was made makes it batal b'sheish, but it might not be batal b'sheishim, it's probably not batal b'sheishim. But that's really how it comes out. So it's not as dreadful as it sounds. It's not as dreadful as it sounds. I don't see Meister Rebelski, he lamented all the years that how can it be that when it comes to everything else, the makbid, the OU, everything, the makbid on the chsherim and everything, and then when it comes to whiskey, you know, they close a blind eye, and this is certainly a major shayla halacha. It's certainly a major shayla halacha. And more so, is a person says, maybe, I don't know, maybe the kashrus organizations, right, well, they don't hold like this, which is a joke. If anybody knows, all the kashrus organizations, OU and in London, the KLBD and all over. I'm saying, and they all basically say that at their events, we write this all in the book, it's in their events, they will absolutely not serve. They're much more machmer than I am in the book. They're far more machmer. They will not serve at any of their events a blue label for sure. Now, they won't serve anything that Epis was an anical of sherry, that had anything to do with sherry. They're more machmer than anybody. They won't serve something that had any sherry epis in it, bichlal. They'll only serve a whiskey that has not been proved at all that it had any sherry bichlal. So they'll serve, I guess, black label. I don't think they say, I don't even know. Black label, I think they don't say that there's any sherry, so they'll serve a black label at their events. But they won't serve anything that has a sherry to it, because that's the standard that a kashrus organization should have. They want to be more machmir, etc. Moshe has a tshuva about this, that a kashrus organization, it's mechayer adover, Moshe says, to give a hechsher on certain things, even when situations would say that halachically it's mutter, but it's mechayer adover. This would go into that kanira these kashrus organizations hold. So therefore, that's the reason why in the Sefer we write that blended b'derek la mutter, the single exclusive ones are definitely a problem. I say the word aser, definitely a problem. And the middle ones are shailos, definitely a makim lahachmir, it's a makim to be makel. You want to know what happens if you have one of those middle examples and somebody serves you one and you don't want to embarrass him. Okay, so you have Rav Moshe that said a similar type of a concept, and maybe if you to make, take a l'chaim with the person, but up upon him, it certainly is a mailin kedusha, certainly no shaila to be makbid, and certainly to be makbid on the ones that are single malts, that's for sure. I'll take any shailas. I more or less have said my piece, right? Beer, I don't think there's really time for beer, but beer, the only issue with beer, really, a non-flavored beer generally shouldn't have any kashrus shaila. A non-flavored beer, the only shaila could be, usually you're not going to even have a Yashan Chodesh problem, usually. The one shaila you can have is the Chametz Shalva of Pesach. I think last year there was a big scandal, because one of the major beer, I don't remember which one it was, I'm afraid to say, and get sued. I don't mind getting sued, but I want to at least deserve to get sued. But one of them was Taka owned by a Jew, and being that it was owned by a Jew, it becomes a major problem of Chametz Shalva for the Pesach. Obviously, it's less of an aggressive problem than whiskey because you don't age beer. But that is definitely something that you have to look out for after Pesach. But it's not an interesting thing. In the book I write that vodka, non-flavored vodka, doesn't need a hechsher. And this has come to my knowledge recently that metzias was true to the point of when the book was written. It seems to be that metzias is not so true anymore. I have to do further extensive research on this. I don't take responsibility. In the book I write, a non-flavored vodka is permitted. And that's usually how it always was. The problem is that it seems to be that nowadays they're all types, they're fermenting it with 18 types of alcohols and whatever. It could definitely be coming from it for sure could be an anical of wine. It certainly can have in there yichus, wine yichus, and I have to look into this. It sounds a little fishy to me. It sounds a little bit like sushi. I'm going to look into it more, but I'm a little bit scared that which I wrote in the book. I covered myself by writing all the information in the book as to the date that the book was written. Right? So the book, unlike whiskey and like Jews, doesn't get better with age, it just gets worse. So you have to buy the second volume, I guess. Yes, sorry.
The issue of using what they call 99% alcohol.
Yeah, 99%. Do you mind if I tell them a joke first?
No.
I'll pay to the joke, yeah. Okay.
No, okay.
I won't forget the joke, don't worry.
the fancy, if you want to make it at home, you add a little cocoa and it becomes And you can also buy these liqueurs.
Yeah.
Different flavors. Is that also part of this machlokes?
Those ones definitely need a hechsher for a different reason, because those have the issue of flavorings. They all have, you know, you're talking about real hard liquor, like banana liqueur, you know, like the real hard stuff, right? That's on this side of the mechitza, for sure. Actually, we're talking about a lady that makes 99 cigarettes. You know, this is mamish. So the truth is that once you're dealing with flavorings, if you have all types of shaitas, flavoring is the whole market of kashrus, which maybe in another mole, I don't know, maybe next year I'll talk about. But flavorings is a whole different shaitas. But just, I guess we didn't start with the milsa b'chusa, so I'll end with the milsa b'chusa. There was that poor guy. They tell him, you know, he's an old fellow, you know. He comes back from the doctor, they tell him, "Why? You see, you have all this water on the lungs, all this dreadful water on the lungs." And his wife says to him, you see, I told you all those years, it's because you drink that 99 cig and this and that. And he says, "You're right. I knew that 1% would kill me." So if you didn't get it, ask the guy next to you. I'll answer shyness. I'm happy to answer. Yeah.
So in the States, they say a lot of whiskeys are not recommended.
Yeah. What they mean, not recommended, could vary. They don't go as, they don't have the same, let's muscle the OU, and they'll write not recommended, right? So for example, they go all the way from meaning something which is exclusively Ladaiti Osir, to all the way to something like a blue label, which Ladaiti is Mutter Minadin, and just maybe there's Makim for a Chumra. They mean once there's a sherry name in it, it's over by them.
Okay, like Jameson Scotch.
Yeah.
Okay, the States, they should forget it, don't even think about it. I walk in the store here, it's on the shelf with a half shrug.
I don't know. Really? It's a hash.
Yeah.
What hash is it? But what? Maybe it's. Is it potentially that it's produced? I think it might be. We spoke about this once. It could be produced. The truth is, on my side, there could be other issues. There could be other issues in whiskeys. There could be. I remember years ago, I don't want to say the name of the whiskey. If I'm right, you guys can say the name of whiskey. There's one whiskey that had chalav akum problems, if you remember. Sorry?
Bailey's?
Not that one, but you're close. there was one that had a major, I don't know today if they do, but there were always some type of problem. But if you would have a Heksher, so then, look, if you have a Heksher, you have to know if that Heksher is a reliable Heksher, and I'm sure they looked into it. It's rare that you're going to find a Heksher on a bottle that's saying, yeah, we're giving a Heksher, we don't care about the Sherry problem. I've never seen such a thing. That even there's, I think in Toronto, there's a conscious organization which serves it at their simchas, but they don't put it on the bottle. They'll serve it. They disagree with a lot of the statements that were made today, and that's the only conscious organization, Derech Agav, that is Mekel. But they're only Mekel to serve it at their simchas. Right? It's called the C-O-R, C-O-R. Now the CRC is Machmer, but the C-O-R, it gets confusing to people, the C-O-R is Mekel on the Shaila, and they'll serve it at their simchas. That's the only conscious agency, to my knowledge, that will serve it at their simchas. Yeah. Serve sherry infected whiskeys, I'll say it like that.
Not exclusively.
I think they would even that. I don't know. I think so. I think even that they would. Yeah.
If at the end of the day a connoisseur can taste the sherry,
yeah.
What if it's bottled by the numbers? Meaning yeah, so, if you can taste it.
Yeah, so when you go home and ask your wife, did you pass the shear? So she said, yeah, Mikhail said I passed. Right, because I agree with you. However, he's asking more than our case, meaning if the connoisseur is saying, I tasted the chagas, it's game over. So it should be even game over in the case of Blue Label, if the connoisseur, and if they're proving they put in sherry, so then that far already, I mean, if they're putting it in, it costs them money, then the stomach. So the truth is, on the blended, it's not much of a shiloh. Because the blendeds, if you look on their websites, and they talk about taster notes. They have these taste notes, it's called taster notes, I think so. Taster notes. They have every flavor in the world you can imagine over there. You know, it tastes like chocolate, and to some people it tastes like ice cream, and the people that want herring, it tastes like herring, and whatever. No, we have herring and ramfin or whatever. So the truth is, a lot of it could theoretically be psychological in that level, right? But if in the numbers it adds up, and the people are tasting it, that for sure we have to reckon with. In the numbers, if it doesn't add up, so then I could say that they put chocolate inside. They write on the blended, one of the taster notes is chocolate. There's no chocolate in there. Right? So what does it mean? It means that it's a psychological thing. That there's a certain psychology that the person feels that he's tasting it. That's probably the answer. Now, at comma, that it's takenat batel b'shishim, and he's telling me he tastes it, then of course I have to reckon with it. But if it's takenat batel b'shishim, then I would be allowed to say that it's probably just, another nekuda, just one moment, I'm sorry, another nekuda might be, is that even if he's tasting it, it might be what's called in halacha, kiyuwa ba'alma. It's some type of like a musig of like a napar natik is svara. That svara, though, can only apply, a kama it's not batel b'shishim, a kama it's not batel b'shishim, and if the fellow is telling me that I taste the sherry, we have absolutely no right to tell him that he doesn't. And that's probably the answer to your question. Yeah.
Cindy, isn't it a milsa devigo with time? Forget about the numbers.
That's sort of what he's asking. That's what I'm answering. Yeah.
You said about bourbon casks could be a problem.
The cask can't be a problem. The bourbon could be a problem. That's how much of a pesa. No, the cask. Then you'll have bleas in the. Well, that could also be an issue. But I don't think we have to be chayshish those casks. We have that, the copy of that, it's bittel. We don't know which casks are being reused and whatnot for the other bourbons, etc. Now, he's asking Stam a very good question. I mean, these, if you look in the Scotch whiskies, so then it says it was aged in a bourbon cask and a Scotch cask and this type of cask. It says, I don't know, maybe one of those bourbon casks held bourbon. That was, so that it's totally knowledge that we don't have and we don't have to have, and it becomes a suffix derabanan, and it becomes a lot of sfeikas, and it becomes a lot of bittul. And it becomes a lot of reasons that we don't have to be chayshish. We only have to be chayshish for the actual whiskey that we know about. And that's the issue. The issue is the ownership of the chametz shtetl of a Pesach. The barrels, I don't know if anybody's machmer. I mean, I don't know if we have any reason to believe that those are the barrels specifically. There's many, 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 many bourbon companies, and it's far more goyish-owned bourbon companies than Jewish-owned bourbon companies. So therefore, it's not, it's generally not an issue. At least the barrels aren't an issue. Yeah. Yeah. No, there actually is Japanese whiskey, and there's Indian whiskey.
But it's not Scotch.
And it's not Scotch. And,
it's whiskey, but not Scotch.
And my integrity to discussing bourbon and Scotch doesn't allow me even to reckon with such whiskeys. Right? Besides, the author is very confused about the knowledge. I say the author, I mean Rabbi Slansky and myself over here. We're very confused about the knowledge about the Indian whiskeys and the Japanese whiskeys. It seems to be there's some type of extra on Japanese whiskey, but I can't take any. That's the next trip, is Japan, to try and see what's going on over there. And I hope to come back with goodies. But to date, I can't tell you what's going on over there. I don't think the issues over there would not be, is there a sherry cask? The issue over there would possibly be the Japanese that don't necessarily have the same standard of kpeidas, klape, what they allow to be put into their whiskey. They don't have the same nostalgic historical feelings when they talk about whiskey. It's kamikaze and das, andere Schmutz. So I don't know if, I'll leave whatever other jokes I can have for a different time. But Indian whiskey, for sure. Who can know? But, listen, if the Sheitel Sharafai Dazar, then the whiskey's also. So, yeah.
I'm sure looking at all the Irish whiskeys, they also have a very strong heritage with their whiskey production.
I think the Irish whiskey's got a different issue with that there could potentially be. I think the Irish whiskey. Does need a heksher. Irish whiskey needs a heksher for different reasons. They have a heritage which allows them a little bit more leeway, klape what they're allowed to put in. And there could be flavorings and there could be whatnot, and therefore, but I can't take full responsibility for that statement. It's only based on what I knew from 2 years ago, and it wasn't based on now. Yeah.
With the machlokes between Rabbi Feinstein and Lashon and they both but there's a difference. When you come across something that there's a heksher to owe you.
Yeah.
Who is this? What is this? What you have to now think now about which heksher you're gonna go on.
It's true, but you definitely don't have the problem in whiskey because you're not going to find the heksher in whiskey. Meaning, right? I should take that back. Meaning, nowadays it's becoming more popular. Yeah, I think IPA has a heksher from Glenfiddich. I think IPA has a heksher, and it's becoming more and more normal. If the tzibur would want it, it would exist. If the tzibur would be mevakish it, so then it would exist. That's how it goes. Rabbi said, if you're willing to pay for it, then they're willing to supply it. And if you're willing to pay without having it, then they're not going to supply it. And certainly whiskey, if anything, you're hearing shilas, which are the most chamer like a shilas of yayin, yayin. I'll be messiah, it's to think straight, and I think the last on my own time, or I don't even know. Oh, I'm good. But it's a very, very chamer like a shilas. If I say, you're going to say at the Seder, v'isha amda. You're all going to say at the Seder, v'isha amda la v'seinu. No? When you pick up the wine, what do you think? What do you think when you pick up the wine? You say, V'hisha amda la v'seinu v'lanu. So different pshatim that people say, why are we picking up the wine? V'hisha amda. And one sub pshat, I think, in the Chidah. He says, V'hisha amda. What's the V'hisha amda? We cover the matzahs. You know, and if you say this in English, you say, cover the matzahs. So cover the matzahs when you pick up the wine. So what's that? Because we're showing the wine as a chashivas. So the matzah is going to sit there and say, what about me? What, I'm not a person too. So we cover the matzah so that he doesn't feel bad when we pick up the wine. So means that the fact that we're makbid even on the feelings of a piece of bread, on a piece of matzah, we're makbid even on the feelings of the matzah. That's what amda lavaseinu v'lanu, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is matzileinu miyadam. But I once saw a pshat from the Aruch HaShulchan. I say over now from the Aruch HaShulchan. I didn't even know the Aruch HaShulchan has Agada. The Aruch HaShulchan, in his Agada, he says, you know what the pshat is in Vehi Sha'amda Laveseinu? Vehi, we pick up the wine and we say, Vehi Sha'amda Laveseinu, the wine, that which we were makbid, and that we were careful, and that we were stayed so careful away from the Gaish of wine. It was so makbid, so careful. That was Amda Laveseinu V'lanu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Matzileinu Miyadam. That's it. How can a person hear such shilas? They're not talking about small shilas. Talking about shilas of Tinta Malay. You're talking about shilas of Ikra Din. And not the chumras. You're talking about shilas of Mamish Mikra Din. I don't see how a person would be making on such a shilas. And that was what they say to Rebelsky. Rebelsky writes. He writes in his Sefer, it's come the time that they should bring Hechsherim to whiskey, and posthumously after he was nifter, it started becoming taka a little bit more. You see, what Rebelsky went in and he started to fight in Shemayim, let them make sure they have a Hechsherim on whiskey. It bothered him tremendously. Why on whiskey? Is there not a Hechsher? If it would be a product that had no issue, then it doesn't need a Hechsher. But we see more and more the issues that come up, whether it was the Chometz Shabbat of a Pesach issue, whether it's the issue of the Sherry, it's certainly issues that come up. It's come to time, it's come to Zeit. Yeah,
Rabbi, the issues of wine and Shabbat and so on that you mentioned, also Pesach, I guess, if the labeling, is the bottom line, if the labeling on the bottle, it doesn't include anything at all, it's not this, it's not, right, it's, one can take it as pure, ordinary, kosher wine to drink for Friday night, it's got no mufushad, it's got no pasteurization on it, it's just a simple label with an Eder Haredes on it and so on. That's okay.
It's okay to drink, or
it's okay to drink.
The only question is if what happens if a guy were to touch it.
No, what I'm saying, if it's just
Say the gomer, you can make kiddush on the gezuntah.
Bring it home. And
say the gomer, you can make kiddush on the gezuntah. No problem. Absolutely no problem. Yeah.
With beer, I feel like I read somewhere that there could be an issue even with unflavored beers, that they may be produced in a facility that.
Generally, it's not a problem. Meaning, a Hechsher, Ramesh has a tshuva, I mentioned this previously. Ramesh has a tshuva where he writes that it's, most Hechsherim, we could just walk in and we could wait till Sunday. Let's say they don't work, they don't work on Saturday, they don't work on Sunday. I think they don't work on Sunday, right? So we can wait till Monday. Factory closes on Sunday. Let's say in America, some pretzel company, right? So technically, we should be able to walk in Monday morning, run a Jewish line, and kind of call kosher. We don't have to kosher the place. We don't have to kosher the place because the Maisa, whatever blias are there from their tray for pretzels or their tray for whatever from the day before, are batel. They haven't been working in 24 hours. And after 24 hours, it's pogim. Okay? So we should be able to run a line on it and call kosher. We should be able to. So Ramesh says, meaning, and I'll explain, a Jew can't do that. A Jew is not allowed to go and cook in a pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours because we have a gzeira. But who's doing it? The owner of that that pretzel factory. So he's a guy. And he'll tell us, we'll watch him, he owns these pretzels, he's allowed to do it. And now he'll tell us, you saw that the place was closed for 24 hours. Look, you'll see there's no lights on in here, and it was closed for 24 hours. And now this run, I'll give it to you, and I'll sell it to you. Ramesh says, officially we should be able to say it's kosher. The guy did it, the guy has a right to do it, and therefore it's batel, and he has a right to do it. It's not aim of atlanis of the chatchila, because the guy is doing it. The guy has a right to do it, and then we're allowed to come afterward and put on it, and know you. Ramesh says, don't do that, it's mechayir adover. It can't be. We have to, we can't do such things. Ramesh writes that, and that became the accepted practice of all the accepted kashrus organizations, mamash in the world, and that's the accepted practice. So it's the same thing why you would have an issue possibly with, let's say, beer and whatnot for a kashrus organization potentially to give a hechsher. Because if they're going and using, like you're asking, to pasteurize the beer, to pasteurize, they're using the same facility that they might be pasteurizing non-kosher items in. Why would it be water? Because generally, the metzias is those products that are previously used are generally going to be poigim, the upcoming product. And therefore, that's why, if you're buying it from a goy, generally it's going to be mutter. That issue, what you're saying, is more of an issue for the kashrus organization to decide if they can put their stempel on it, because they didn't have kashrus in place. And that goes back to Ramesh's mechayir adover, which is why, I don't remember anymore. I remember from the olden days. It hasn't worked now in America on a beer, there's an OU, I don't even know. There's a beer, a Budweiser has an OU. Sorry, it's not. But you can find it on, probably, I'm saying. A flavored beer for sure has to have that, actually. That's no shy.
But an unflavored beer, you're saying you can drink?
An unflavored beer, sorry?
A regular unflavored beer?
Again?
Do you think this comes from the U.S. or that's
it? Yeah, first of all, it makes a difference if it comes from the U.S. And second of all, I must admit that my knowledge about this is till 2 years ago, about beer, klape that. That shy that you're asking, what I always saw, an unflavored beer isn't an issue in the U.S., but I would get nervous because, like you see, the world is a changing world and things could happen. But generally, the idea is a person is allowed to have an unflavored beer in the U.S. So after Pesach, things could change. I don't know which ones are owned. I think Budweiser is a guy. The gears of the Ankisa, I think Bud was a guy. I don't know. Heineken sounds like,
Israeli beer?
Come again?
There's a lot of Israeli beer companies.
Maccabi.
Making new beers.
But over here, there's always a Hechsher. Generally, usually, the unflavored beers are all Hechshered anyways, and generally, it's usually not a problem. Okay? I'll take my next one.